हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Sutra 2212, page 43. Ubhayatapi na karmatas tad abhavaha. Ubhayatapi, on both assumptions, na, not, karma, motion, ata, therefore, tad abhava, the absence of that. In either case, initial action in the atom cannot take place. Thus, creation cannot take place. Right, because the point is here they're trying to say that the atom is causing the creation. Mm-hmm. Right, the other is this, Pradhan is causing the creation. So these guys, it's atoms that's causing the creation. But, you know, so we can see in all cases, it's always about dead matter. They're just trying to find, they're all avoiding the Lord. Not that they may or may not accept the Lord, but they don't connect him to this aspect. Right? So, dead matter can't initiate anything. That's the main point.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You haven't heard any of the sages say that when they ask who's their spiritual master and they say, yes, I was initiated by dead matter. Yeah, like that. No. The Sutrakar explains that atoms are not set into motion by adrishya karma. For adrishya karma pertains to the pious and impious reactions of living entities, not particles of matter, right? Because the matter is unaffected. So why would it go into action? Right? Means the jivas, they have karma. But why would that cause the atoms to act? You know what I'm saying? What's the point? The atoms have no purpose in doing that. So, see, is the problem comes up because they're not accepting that Krishna has a purpose in doing that and he sets it into motion. They're always trying to explain it separate from God. That's the problem with all philosophies other than the Vaishnava philosophy.
It is going to be like that, all Vedanta Sutra.
All Vedanta Sutra is going to be all the different ways that they try to sneak out.
Sankhya were very intelligent enough because they said that because of the proximity of the Purusha and the Prakriti, there was imposition of the qualities and therefore Pradhan was able to act. But here they're not able to give, you know, such solid reasons. You know,
Well, they're a lower philosophy. Yeah. Each philosophy in the order that we give them, the one above it can defeat the one below it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why sometimes you'll see Jaimini will be used to defeat all the other four.
Yes.
Then, having done that, then you defeat that with Vedanta. You can't do it straight, it doesn't matter. Or sometimes you, a lower one, you defeat it with yoga.
Yes.
You know, when we say defeating with yoga or defeating with Jaimini, it means those things in those philosophies that are actually in line with the proper understanding of the Vedas.
Yes.
Though they don't have in other words, the mechanical aspects. They may not have the actual proper conclusion, ultimate conclusion, but it's not that they're wrong in some of the mechanical aspects that they're describing. Like here, atoms. Yes, everything's made out of atoms. That's true. But that atoms start everything, that atoms don't have any dimension, these are made up. Does that make sense? See, why that point of imagination? Because imagination means you're using the mind and using the intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But not being connected to Krishna, it has no substance. So it's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
We, because we're conditioned, will say, no, this is real. But it's only imagined it has the value it does. Because you can say, oh, this is of great value. Look at this. You know, it's solid wood. you know, all natural ingredients, you know, it's just wood and metal like that, and it's, you know, varnish or the natural, you know, colors of the wood and everything is out, so this is, you know, this is good. Plus, it's a traditional old design, you know, that they put a little few little things on just to bring out some niceness like that, so this is great. Someone else will look at this and go, this is a piece of trash, why would I want this? You know, it's not up to date. You know, where's all the glass? Where's the plastic? Where's the things like this?
Yes.
So the thing is we say it has a value. That's the whole point. So it only starts to become substance when it's based on the Shastra. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Can we say that this existence is real, but value?
Yes, that's the whole point. It actually exists. This table actually is here. But that one person will say, this is a fabulous table, and another person will say, no, it's not. That's where the interpretation comes in. That's where imagination comes in. So, that they're starting with Shastra, now we're dealing with something of substance, but it's not complete, because substance means where does Shastra come from? From Krishna. So unless we accept that it's connected to Krishna, and Krishna has a purpose in this, then we're dealing with imagination because it's not real.
Maharaj, and can we say that whenever things are not connected to Krishna, then this problem of relativity arises?
Yes, always. Right. So then when we connect something to Krishna, now we're dealing with reality. So that's why it doesn't matter what it is. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's not real. But we'll go, okay, okay, I understand the table and all that. It's not real because, okay, it's not a great area of attachment for me. And so I can accept that. Or I have no attachment for that. I couldn't care less. Like I say, these rugs aren't real. You go, yeah, of course. I knew that from the first day I walked in. You know, you call these rugs? You know, we wouldn't even put these on our goats. You know, it's like that. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like, so... But then there'll be other areas. Then it has to say that also. Okay, we say the thing isn't. Okay, we get that. Or we get, you know, like, the Abhidhut Brahman. Then he's saying, he moves through the world, he's this and that, he's like that. Okay, that's, you know, it's a little strange, but I could see the advantages like that. Then he gets into, you know, then family life, the wife, the children, the this, the money. Well, wait a minute, slow down here, you know. You know, you can't be so fanatic and this and that and so many things like that. So then you have to go through each thing, right? And then even we've accepted that, oh yeah, he said that a million times. Then he says, no, but knowledge and skills, that's not right. Wait a minute here. You understand?
Yes.
So it's, therefore, every possible angle that we could hold on to attachment, yeah, it means everything else but this.
Yes.
Then it has to be said. So that's why we see this constant repetition, because it's just this one point. As soon as it's not connected to Krishna, there's relativity. It means duality. You know, good, bad, right, wrong, this, that. But then we get involved in that and leave Krishna out. So it's not real. It means it exists. And where all this seeming non-existence comes from, or non-reality comes from, is all from Krishna. All the forms that are here are based on Him having form. If He didn't have form, why would anything have form? He exists, therefore thing exists. He's a personality, therefore there's personalities. Because everything's Him. It's all made from Him. Right? But He has such features that He is Brahman, He is Paramatma, but beyond that, He's Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is the support of the Brahman and Paramatma aspects. Does that make sense?
But to accept that is like operation, right?
Yes, that's why we see it's in the 11th canto. Because before it's like, how karma yoga, jnana yoga, how to connect it to Krishna and all this. But now it's come to the point where we've gotten a taste of actual reality, the pastimes of the Lord. Now, you want that, then you have to switch the mundane values for the spiritual.
Yes.
So that's why we see. So it's such a simple point, isn't it? Everything is illusion if it's not connected to Krishna. It's the second verse of the Chaturshloki.
Mm-hmm.
First verse, everything is Him. Second verse, whatever's of value, it's Him. And if you don't see it that way, it's illusion. Right? Does that make sense? Third verse is, he's all that and he's beyond. So there's the person. So just seeing these aspects of Godhead are not enough. Or God is not enough. You have to get the point of Godhead. Does that make sense? The personality. Right? And then it's about that. And so then, at all times, all places, all circumstances, you should see like that. So it's covered, those four shlokas have covered everything. The whole philosophy is in those four. Right? And so then we have 12 cantos that brings out various aspects because we're so determined that it's not. Like that.
So, like the six philosophies, they are determined.
Yeah, they're determined. Come on. They worked hard on these philosophies. We don't even work that hard. Yeah. You know, we just imagine a few things like what we're going to have for lunch. Or, you know, so these guys really work.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point, is that this concept of imagination simply means it's not connected to Krishna. That's why when devotees in manana, it's not imagination because it's connected to Krishna.
Yes.
But anyone else, karmis, jnanis, no matter how qualified they are and this and that or unqualified, it's all imagination because it's not connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? That's how it works. But it's not that this imagination is not controlled by Krishna through the modes of nature. Even that is still controlled by Krishna. It's not that, okay, he's on that side and on this side, this is our area. No, he controls this also. You know, like the prisoners, this is our prison. Yeah, right, yeah. That's how it's going on. That's why it's managed and you have food, because it's your prison. Right? You know? And what can you do in your prison? Say who's going to sit on which bench, you know, who's going to eat where. Whether the guy sitting opposite you actually gets to eat the bun on his plate or you're going to eat it. You know, that's about it. You know what I'm saying? So, but they'll claim, this is mine, I'm in control here, he runs the prison, you gotta, you know, watch out for him. He doesn't run the prison. So, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the whole.
That devotees, you know, they're very much attached to whatever services they're doing, you know.
Yes, yes.
And in the process of doing the services, they say that it's a spiritual attachment. But then how do you understand that the attachment
means
is a spiritual
attachment? There is a spiritual attachment, but it doesn't mean that there's not a material attachment also. It's just like if I have milk, okay, and I pour some ink into the milk, do we still have milk? Is it still milk? It is milk. It just unfortunately has some ink in it. So it is spiritual attachment because they're doing it for Krishna. They want Krishna to get the benefit. They're doing their best to make it nice for Krishna. But there also may be, if you're not careful, the false ego of being expert at it, that I know these things. You have an identity as I'm the doer of these kind of activities and I'm good at it. I'm professional.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's illusion, because we're not. Where does professionalism come from? It comes from Krishna. The knowledge comes from Krishna. The ability comes from Krishna. The soul can't claim any of those. He's just involved in it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that because of mundane identity, therefore then we identify and we say, I'm the doer. And so we want credit. So it's still service to Krishna, but it falls into the category of renunciation. Because we're doing our service with our identity and claiming the results and then giving them to Krishna. So it's devotional service. It's perfect. But sannyasa is considered better, where you already see that it's Krishna's service. It's his. It's the results are already his, so you're simply working for him as an assistant, as an instrument. That's better. You understand? And then when you're working on that platform of that pure devotion, that it's just about pleasing Krishna and all that, then it takes care, so that's the best. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's not that it's not devotional service, it's just that it can be go more. But if we become attached and make our fly, no, like that, someone comes in, no, we're not that fanatic, you know, we all see it as like that, that's how we see it, then it's taking on the social thing. We're all agreeing to see it that we're all okay, so no one feels bad that they're attached. You know what I'm saying? So it's just an attachment to pranamoy, because are they actually bringing it in from Shastra? Can they quote the Shastra on this? It's about Dharma, so it's not Dharma. It's just coming because the background of pranamoy is so strong, then they'll simply work that out, and so we all agree together that, you know, this much is enough for devotional service. More than that, oh, well, those guys fanatic, and these guys over there, they're less than you. Oh, these guys aren't serious. So whatever you're doing, that's like the perfect path. You know, it's does that make sense? But devotional service is the middle path, not us. We don't create the path. You know, it's like we're the trailblazers, we're the ones doing this and all that. No. Lord Chaitanya didn't have community?
He did have.
Yeah, so it's, no one can claim, oh, we're creating community. The Goswamis didn't establish temples? Prabhupada didn't make temples? We can't say, no, we're the ones making the temples. You know what I'm saying? Krishna, is he not maintaining the creation and all that? So then we can't say, I'm doing all the creation and all that. Lakshmi, who does that belong to? Not us. So we can't say that, yeah, I'm the big collector. You know what I'm saying? Whatever we're doing, we can't claim that we're the ones doing it. We can be an instrument. But the point is in the beginning, as long as there's no philosophy, and you may be attached in that, but you're in your consciousness, you're doing the best you can for Krishna. That's considered honest, sincere. Even though they may not be that advanced, but that's sincere. But even though we may be more advanced, as soon as we think, no, I'm okay, and this is good, and this and that, and like this, and we don't need to do better, that's where it's a little less sincere. Right? Now, if someone's being honest, this is all I can do. But then where's the false ego? Because then you say, well, this is attachment. And you'll go, yes, it is. But at this point in my life, I have these desires. So therefore, I connect him to Krishna by engaging him in his service. That way, I'll be purified. And then hopefully later on, then they'll go away. But is that what's being said? No. It's being said that, no, this is good. We're it's all Krishna. It's all that. It's all. So that's the problem, is we're using a neophyte kind of position or mentality with a so-called sophisticated perspective. You know what I'm saying? Which simply comes from the professional world. You know? Or any kind of thing where the concept of pranamoy is important. You know, where it's the political, economic, you know, educational, whatever it is, as long as they say, we're all okay. You know, it's like, you know, we here at Oxford, we're all okay. But those guys over in Cambridge, they don't quite know what's going on. You know, they're okay. People like them and all that. We'll give them that. And much of the time, they're more popular and famous than us on certain things. But, you know, what to do? That's just the way it works. People, the common people don't have the, discrimination to tell the difference. So they really can't tell. But we, because of our position, we can really tell. So we're better. Right? Like that. And then they're saying all that over across, you know, across the channel there. And then over in Sorbonne, they're going, these guys, you know, forget it. They don't know. And then you go down to Italy, down to Bologna, and then they'll go, hey, we're the first ones. You know, these other guys are simply copying us, you know. Hey, what do you call it? Imitation is the best form of flattery, you know, like that. So, hey, what to do? So like that, it just goes on. Like that.
What are they saying in Boston?
Hmm? Yeah, well, that's another thing. So. Those guys are old-fashioned. We've got the latest, you know, like that. And so everybody's going to say, because you ask what university you went to, or whatever it is, that's the best.
Yes.
Like that, Isn't it? Yes, that's just the way it is, you know. Those guys are all, you know, too intellectual, and those aren't that. We went to, you know, how you say, you know, the Paris University here. We're real. We're solid. We're not those funny guys out there who just are up in the clouds, you know, like that. And, you know, so wherever you go, they all have an idea we're the best. Doesn't matter where you go. Right? Whatever you do is the best, whatever you wear, whatever language you use, whatever you eat, right? That's why Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever, give it away, do it for Krishna, because those are all the things that you say, this is me, I'm the best. Right? Krishna knows what's going on, he's got it down. But that's the point, he's so kind that even though that's what it is, then he gives that accommodation that you can use.
but that's what he does, and that's the best. Whatever he eats, whatever he does.
Yes, that's the point, because he is the absolute truth.
Easier for you.
Yeah. So when we try to be him, then it doesn't work out quite as good. Because whatever it is, wherever it is, whatever you're doing, your neighbor will say, that's not food. This is, but what my grandma, that's food. What you guys cook, that's not real. Right? That's just the way it is. It's never, nothing's as good as, you know, what your mom cooked, or what you wear, or what you think, or your political view is the balanced one. Everybody else is too weak, or too you know, over the top, or not strong enough, or, you know what I'm saying? That's just the way it goes. It's just material life. So Krishna, to avoid all that, the whole point is do everything connected to him. That's the meaning of at all times, all places, all circumstances, you should be searching for Krishna up to this, up to the personality of Godhead. You know, through all time, place, and circumstances, so for all aspects of Brahman and Paramatma, you're seeing Krishna and trying to find Krishna, the person.
When you say all circumstances,
yes,
it means literally all circumstances, because
this is what we're talking about. Yes,
because when we sincerely serve, we know we are very, very honest in doing that.
Yes, and then when you're sitting around with your friends and then talking the talk and walking the walk, then how sincere is that? At the moment you're doing, but then afterwards you want benefit for it. What does Manu say about that? I give in charity and then I brag about it. What happens to the benefits of my charity? They go away. So that's material. It will go away because it's going away anyway. It's just a matter of today or tomorrow. But spiritual, it will remain. But the whole point is will that be pleasing to Krishna if you're proud? If the gopis, who are the best girls in the cosmos, are proud of that, which is a fact, and Krishna's not pleased, and he goes away, then why would we, in our position, get away with it? We can get away with it. Children get away with it, but that has to be acknowledged. We're children. So that's why Jarabharat called the king immature. He's a king. Right? He's going on pilgrimage. That means, you know, his capital is not collapsing. You know, it's going nicely. That's why he can go on pilgrimage. And he calls it immature. So that's the whole point. That's why the Bhagavatam's there. That's why we hear from people like Dattatreya. We hear it as it is. Right? So these things are there, but then there's above this.
They're
getting taller. Yeah, before it was just above the fence. Of course, the fence has gone down. So it is getting lower and lower.
The second one is really shorter.
Yeah, no. They both grown, but the second one is really, yeah. Does that make sense? It means everything. In all time, place, and circumstance, you have to see things connected to Krishna. If you're talking about how great you're doing your service, then if you're not connecting to Krishna, how is it connected to Krishna?
Despite of whether other person is sincere or not, we need to be sincere. That's what is then devotional service, because...
It means it's called self-realization, not everybody else get it together realization. Because I've heard that. If everybody in Mayapur was Krishna conscious, then, you know, I would be inspired and I would do everything very nicely. I'd want to come up to that standard, but because they're not, how can I dedicate myself and how can I get sincere? You know, it's a paraphrase, but a direct quote. And I've heard that on many occasions.
And what do you say?
Oh, what do you...
God bless you.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they should try Brahma Loka or something. Something sense? So in other words, false ego is never to be maintained. So what we're doing is analyzing here what is not devotional service and what exactly is. And so then we take that, we contemplate it. That's the whole point. Now, if we don't want to deal with these things, don't study them. Because when you know, then you should try to apply the best of your ability. And so if we don't want to know, so whatever we know, that's all the more we want to do, and we don't want to hear beyond that, that's also okay. But then don't claim that that's the topmost position. You're the most intellectual and smartest. You know, a practical, maybe down-to-earth person, but not too down-to-earth, because too down-to-earth is also too common. Like that, you know, the salt of the earth. You know, those kind of guys. No, we're not talking those. We're talking... You understand?
Yes, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we have to remember is that two kinds of persons are, you know, how you say, happy in this world. The fools and the paramahamsas. So the professionals do happen to be in the middle. So they suffer.
And they say that, the survey said that the more professional you are, the more you suffer.
Yeah, of course. Because the bigger the ego, the more things have to be maintained. The other guy, he has a bad day, it's just the way it is. The professional has a bad day, you know, it could impact his whole life. And so then...
They say the hairdresser is the most happy with their...
Hairdressers. Yeah. You have to play with hair all day.
The most morose are the surgeons.
Surgeons. Yeah, they do anything wrong then. Yeah, and of surgeons, probably neuro-brain surgeons, right? Cardio like that. So that's the whole point, is the more whatever we say is this is what is going to make us happy in this world, they're actually the most unhappy. And the things that are closer to what we're saying, you know, Dattatreya and others are saying, that's the ones that'll be most happy. So the hairdressers will just say, we're just a hairdresser. They won't try to put any airs on.
Yeah, just speak.
Yeah, they talk all day. You know, it's just a man. You know, it's like perfection. Play with hair all day. You know, and just talk gossip all day, and like that. And it's not the same people. It's always a variety. So the variety of gossip they get to talk about is like, you know, it's amazing. You know, plus you have snacks, and you know, it's like it doesn't get better than that.
We are like in the beginning we are mentioning about imagination. So can we say that imagination is mainly on a pranamaya level?
No, it'll happen on all four levels. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. It's all imagination. That I'm going to be happy by merging in Brahman, I'm going to be happy by performing my duties going to the heavenly planets, by if we all work together, then we can make a happy, perfect situation in the world, or it's just, if I just get whatever I want, how I want it, I'll be happy. All four levels are an illusion. So everything from karma and jnana, it's all imagination. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Sutta Prakashika. We just did that. Okay. Previously, it was verified in Vedanta Sutra 222. Pravritte cha. That pradhan is not the cause of the world because even pradhan cannot act without a conscious agent. Hence, that which is insentient cannot trigger an action. Since the atoms are inert, therefore action cannot happen, right? So it's also the same principle. That's why if you learn one principle of inert matter cannot initiate action without a conscious agent, then that means it applies to pradhan, it applies to the atoms, it applies to whatever else, you know, the primordial soup, like that, you know, maybe a great soup, but, you know, still it's unconscious. So it's not going to create action. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sri Govinda Bhasya. These logicians maintain that the world arises from combination of two atoms and more by the action of the single atoms. So the single atoms, they're the one causing the double atoms and therefore causing the triggering the whole thing.
Yes.
So it comes down to single atom, that single atom with no dimension. Right? Shamshaya, so the doubt, right? Shamshaya is the doubt? Yes. Shamshaya is the doubt, right? So in the action generated in a single atom due to karma within the atom, or due to karma in the atom, is action generated? You know, in the single atom due to karma within the atom, or due to karma in the Atma?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the whole point is just saying it's karma.
Yes.
But the point is if it's karma and the atom, karma doesn't have, the atoms don't do anything wrong. Right? They're always right, right? At always the end of the show, they're always the right ones, right? So the whole point is it never goes wrong. And then if you say it's in the jiva, then what's that got to do with the atom? So in either way, it still doesn't work. Okay? Uttara. It cannot be from karma within the atom because it is impossible for the karma generated by sin and piety of the atma to reside within the atom. It cannot come from karma in the atma since it is impossible for action to arise within the atom by something within the atma. Means why would the atom do something because of a quality in someone in the atma?
What does atma say?
Atma is the atma is the soul.
So they're not together? Which soul? Which atma?
Now you're matchmaking, or I heard that they were together. Is there something new here that I'm hearing? They're not together. That last week they were together.
Like it's gossip. What's their connection? Because we say that
exactly. That's the point. What is the connection between the pure spirit soul and the atom of matter? There is no connection, right? So the conditioned soul is in the material world because of their attachment to the concept that I'm the controller, enjoyer. Right? And from that, then they choose things that create their karma. And they get bound by that. So therefore, they're nitya badha. So the karma is within the soul. Well, it's not exactly within the soul. It's within the subtle body that the soul walks around with. But the point is it's connected to the soul, not the atom.
So my question is, what the atom has to do with all this?
Nothing. That's the point.
That's the point.
That's the point. It has nothing to do with it. But they're trying to say, no, the atom is the one that's causing creation. The same similar thing. The atom, because of the proximity of the soul, takes on that quality of karma, and therefore it starts to do everything. You know, just like you go into the kitchen, you're really hungry, and then by that proximity, suddenly all the vegetables and the the utensils, they all come together, and then you have this fabulous meal. You just have to keep your concentration, because if you break your concentration, it may be undercooked, or they may leave out an ingredient, forget to put salt or stuff like that. Right, so it means we would say that's insane. That can never happen. But somehow or another, on this level, the micro level, it can't happen. But on the macro, of course, it can happen. You know, how does that work? So that means the material energy would have to be connected with all the jivas and put all that together, because that one atom is not always with one jiva, you know, connected. You know what I'm saying? Like your body, it changes every 7 years. So the atoms of earth that are there, they're completely changing. So today it's part of your body. Tomorrow, you know, that coconut tree over there, it's part of that one. It just keeps...
Huh? That's insane.
Yeah, but that's the whole point, is that you're trying to bring it to that... See, these things, that's the whole point of jnana, is it breaks attachment. Because attachment goes very nicely when you have that romantic kind of aspect of it's all nice, it's all fabulous. But as soon as you remove that romantic element, it's not so nice anymore. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Therefore, you get the extremes between those who their field is the romantics. Then if they somehow or another give that up, then they, because of their existential, they always try to kill themselves. You know, it's always extreme. That's the difficulty. So it's just, this is their way that they're trying to explain this fundamental point that they can't explain without accepting God, that he's doing it. So that's why they're mundane philosophies. God's not actually involved. Not that they don't accept Shastra, not that they don't accept his existence, but they don't involve him and him as a personality. Because if you do, then we're a junior personality, he's the senior, we'd have to bring ourselves in line with him, and which we don't want to do.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Okay. The action cannot arise from the atom in contact with the atma, since partless atoms cannot join with partless atma. Right? There's no parts, so how would they connect together? Footnote 15. For them to join, they would need to have a point of contact, which in turn would require them to have parts. Right? So then they can't join. So how is it Krishna's potency brings them together? That's why it's working. So again, when you leave Krishna out, it doesn't work. In either case, karma cannot generate the first action in the atom. Right? So it can't start the whole thing. Right? So that means that there has to be another power that's making all this work. That's the whole problem. They're trying to explain it within the few facts that they have, which are not enough. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, it's like the, what do you call it? That one gentleman, you know, one citizen of the Roman Empire, you know, aristocratic, he visited one of his, you know, friends or that, who were, well, the aqueduct goes to Rome, no? Yeah, so he was visiting in Rome, where they have taps and running water, and where he lived out in the, you know, more out in the province, where they didn't have that. You know, it's not a problem, you have servants, they bring the water, so that's not a big deal. But here is that, you know, in the back of that, you had water and that. So he was so impressed with this, that when he left to go back to his place, he pulled the tap out of the wall and took it home and had it installed in his wall. And he was quite surprised when no water came out. Right? So this is the level of science that these materialists work on. Without seeing the connection to the Lord, it doesn't work. But they try. They try. You know, you have to give them, I say, E for effort. No, but yeah. Siddhanta, it was already concluded that an insentient object cannot on its own initiate action since it is inert. Nor can the Atma cause the first action in the atom, because after universal destruction, the atom, devoid of consciousness, is also inert. Nor can the desire of the Lord, according to the Jiva's karma, be the cause of the atom's initial action, since the action would be eternal, because the Lord's will is eternal.
Maharaj, do they mean over here that the desire of the Lord is depending on the Jiva's karma?
No. He has what he's doing, but it's not that he desires that to be happening. He desires that the Jivas are serving the Lord. So he's created the world so that they can take up Krishna consciousness. But he has a system there that if they get involved, then this is what happens. So you simply set it up, and then the Jiva takes part, and therefore then he gets involved. Right? One may argue that the Lord's will is absent during destruction, since the karma of the Jivas are not awakened. But that is not acceptable, because if the ingredients are present, then creation should occur. Because there's an absence of a definite cause for the atom's initial action, the first action cannot take place. Because of absence of action in the atoms, their combining together will not take place. Without that initial coming together, the double atom will not form. Without these combinations, creation cannot take place. Tad abhavaha. Right? Because they're just taking why the creation's happening. It's because of Krishna's glance. His potencies, his shaktis are making it happen. But it's not because of the karma of the jiva. So Krishna's not controlled by that. He's independent. But it's not that he desires that this all happens. It's his desire is that this is a process for souls to be elevated. So it's a matter of you're very finely putting them together. You know what I'm saying? Each point, you're bringing out a very fine aspect of it. Because otherwise we'll take a grosser aspect and say, you know, here it is. Mm-hmm. But you're taking all those apart. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. The fruit of activities a living entity, living being performs, whether pious or impious, are the unseen cause for the fulfillment of his desires. This unseen cause is the root for the living entity's different bodies. Because of his intense desire, the living entity takes birth in a particular family and receives a body which is either like that of his mother or like that of his father. The gross and subtle bodies are created according to his desire.
Mm-hmm.
Footnote 16. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Linga Sharir is the cause for the Stula Sharir. Hence, one must develop Krishna consciousness in order to change from subtle body to the spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
The gross body is a product of the subtle body, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chyajante kalevaram. Tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. The atmosphere of the subtle body at the time of death is created by the activities of the gross body. Thus, the gross body acts during one's lifetime, and the subtle body acts at the time of death. The subtle body, which is called linga, the body of desire, is the background for the development of a particular type of gross body, which is either like that of one's mother or like that of one's father. According to the Rig Veda, if at the time of sex the secretions of the mother are more profuse than those of the father, the child will receive a female body. And if the secretions of the father are more profuse than those of the mother, the child will receive a male body. These are the subtle laws of nature. So then you'll see that's how it works. These are the subtle laws of nature, which act according to the desire of the living entity. If a human being is taught to change his subtle body by developing Krishna consciousness, at the time of death, the subtle body will create a gross body in which he will be a devotee of Krishna. Or, if he is still more perfect, he will not take another material body, but will immediately get a spiritual body, and thus return home back to Godhead. Right? So if we're working with spiritual mind, or spiritualized mind and intelligence, then we remember Krishna, we'll develop our spiritual body. If not, then at least one will develop a material body that's more useful for Krishna consciousness than the present one we're in. Right? This is the process of the transmigration of the soul. Therefore, instead of trying to unite human society through pacts of sense gratification that can never be achieved, it is clearly desirable to teach people how to become Krishna conscious and return home back to Godhead. This is true now and indeed at any time. That's the whole point. It's timeless. Seeing it's coming from Krishna. It's not bound by time. This idea is, oh, these things before you could do, now you can't. That's not correct. We may, in our attachments, not be inclined towards something, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't work. Right? So that's the whole thing. We'll say, oh, this is old-fashioned. And then just wait a few years, and then old-fashioned will be in fashion. Like, is it still retro, still a bit of a thing? Yeah, because that's not even taking old-fashioned and putting a little spin on it. Like, you know, which is the, you know, basically your couture and stuff. This is where you're taking old-fashioned and as it is. You know, the same dress, the same moods, the same cigarettes, the same music, the same dance, and just doing that, even same cars.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole idea. So it still works. And it grows. So this whole thing is, oh, you can't do that anymore. This is totally just an attachment to one's own way of doing things. That's all. So, makes sense? Because Krishna's instructions, the Shastra, they're eternal. His nature is eternal. Therefore, you can always follow the path of eternity, and it will always work. This idea that it won't, then that's simply due to material attachment. Material identity. Because right? My attachment is better than your attachment, right? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.11.13. Influential stars, planets, luminaries, and atoms all over the universe are rotating in their respective orbits under the direction of the Supreme, represented by eternal Kala. So they don't have anything to do with the Jiva's karma. They're rotating, and you're put into a certain situation. All these, whatever is the unlimited situations that the living entity can be in, whatever the mathematical calculations are there, then those are running. And then, according to you, you're plugged into that place. If they're not running in this universe, they're running in the next universe. You'll be transferred. Don't worry. Like that. It won't take you too long that by the time you get there, then it'll be over, and then, you know, like that. No, it'll still be there. Sutra 2.2.13. Sama vaya vyupagamach cha samyad anavastitehe. Samavaya, concomitant cause, abhyu pagamat, because of the acceptance, cha and samyat, from equality, because of equality, by parity. Now that's a good one. From equality, because of equality. Now you could start a whole political platform on that one, right? Anavastitehe, because there results an infinite regress. The theory is not valid because of acceptance of the principle of samanvaya, which entails infinite regress.
Maharaj, actually, I don't understand the word concomitant cause, samanvaya.
Concomitant?
Followed by.
Well, wow, this guy could be a Bengali electrician. Yeah, I mean, you know, the government ones that are in charge of how the electricity works. That's it. Guy's good.
Simultaneous existence.
Simultaneous existence.
With understanding, good. It is understood somewhere. Will be understood. Concomitant means is present. Like, for a relationship to be present, there has to be another relationship present, you know. So parallel relationships have been present.
Okay, so it's not a Schrodinger's cat thing.
Concomitant means concurrent.
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 They're both going on at the same time.
Yes, that's what.
Okay.
Like the perfume in the nose. They're both going on at the same time. Okay. Sutra Pakashika. The Sutrakar explains that the theory of Samanvaya does not explain why atoms combine as they do. By declaring Samanvaya to be an eternal principle inherent in atoms, the Vaisheshika philosophers imply atomic combinations to be eternal. But this is not a fact. Even Vaisheshika philosophy admits this. Right? Because it's not eternal, because they all go apart, they're not doing anything. So it's not. That means it has to be inherent in the atom itself. Sri Govindabhasya. The Vaisheshika theory admits that relation called Samanvaya, and hence their doctrine is untenable. Why? Because the Samanvaya relation is equal to any other relation. Thus, it requires another samanvaya to explain it, right? Because it's because of that relativity aspect. Each thing has to have something else to explain, right? And so then, because of that, you get the infinite regression. Does that make sense? So means this flower, you know, then is on this tabletop. The tabletop is then, you know, connected to the table. The table's connected to the rug. The rug's connected to the mat. The mat's connected to the cow dung on the floor. The cow dung on the floor is connected. It just keeps going because all these relationships.
Because of contact.
Yeah, contact or just somehow another, some existence that has some connection to each other.
Yes, yes.
You know, yes. Like the food and the chef.
Yes.
You know, there's some connection.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
They say that samavaya means, you know, you can have the characteristics, the general characteristics, or you can have
the general characteristics.
The action present in the atoms, and that is samavaya. For example, like if a rose is fragrance, whatever is the fragrance of a rose, you know, so that quality of fragrance of a rose is inherent in that atoms, because of which.
They're inherent in the atoms of the rose.
So that's why that fragrance is unique to that. And for.
But means that's their Vaisheshika philosophy.
Yeah.
The concomitant is inherent in the atoms.
Yeah.
So that means then there's specific rose atoms. And unless you get rose atoms together, you can't grow roses. Because otherwise, how would you get...
Because that's what Dissi Lata...
It's explained.
It's explained as we go. Okay.
Quality and the substance relationship.
You can understand it's getting weird, right? Because that's the whole point, is that they're trying to define something that's not the Lord's creation. That's why it gets seen. So this idea that something is more sophisticated, more complex, more like this, it just simply means they have less and less of an understanding. Like ours is very straightforward and simple, because that's what it is. Then when you're trying to avoid that, then you have to come up with these complicated explanations.
Imagination.
Yes, imagination. So that's why then it appears to be, you know, more sophisticated, more developed, and all this, when it's not. And people then give recognition to that, and, oh, but they're so intelligent, and, you know, so there must be something there, you know, that, like that. And ours is just so simple. And
Even if you read the notes of the details of Vaisheshik, you know, regarding Samavaya, it has been expressed mathematically, you know, like, if X and Y are two entities, then X and Y are related to each other via the relationship R1. And for R1 to be true, you know, we require another relationship between two entities present. And this will go on, you know, in Pentagon. So the relationship goes on, but they do not find an end to it. However, the end is Krishna to say that.
Yes. So that's the problem. Everything goes back to Krishna. So we don't mind that there's that regression. But there's no such thing as infinite, because Krishna's there. You can't have infinite regression. Because Krishna himself is self-sufficient. He doesn't need a support.
But what do they say? They say that there's no infinite regression, and means what? The atoms finish.
That they don't think that much.
Yeah.
That's the point, is you don't think that far. It means it's just like, let us say you're attached to something. Let's say, you know, whatever it is. Someone tells you that there'll be okay, you can do that, but that will create this other problem. Now, how much do you consider that other problem if your attachment is very great? As little as possible. So when people stop talking about it and it's not obvious, then you're happy, because now you can go on thinking about how you want things. So it's only when people bring up, then is there. So then you have some answer for that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's eat this. Okay, well, yeah, we could. That'd be great. But unfortunately, it's this and it's that and it's Kali Puja and it's in Calcutta and it'll take us 10 hours to get there. You know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But then we might have, you know, and as long as somebody doesn't bring it up, then you won't worry about it. But if they do, then you'll come up with all kinds of answers for it. You know, it's just like, you know, well, you know, things, you know, anything of value is worth, you know, putting in the effort or... Yeah, you know, but then after 6 hours and you're still not in Calcutta and you're stuck in the jam on the road while people are going around and with crazy music dancing, then are you going to be thinking now it's worthwhile? No, but at the time you try to avoid that. So that's why people say, oh, we can do this, but then that'll cause that. Oh, we'll worry about that when we get there. These are all, and if we say that, oh, we'll worry about that when we get there, then what do people do? Oh, okay, yeah. But does it solve the problem? No. So that's all they've done, is that their acharyas have worked out these little phrases that by saying it, people just go, oh, okay, and drop it. You know, how does the creation come? Well, the atom, by associating with the karma of the jiva, then it starts the process. People go, oh, okay. Because they don't think. You have to take it back to the point of non-thinking. Right? That must be a Sanskrit term for that, right? So, because of attachment, we're looking for any excuse to prove it. So if we take one that apparently on the surface is meaningful, we'll take it. Does that make sense? You know. So that's what's happening with all these guys. And so we study this because we can say, wow, we're not these guys. No, we're other guys that are doing the same thing. Right? In other words, whatever materially can be done, these guys have worked it out. And so we're doing this. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Non-thinking is shunya.
Shunya. Okay. Okay, Siddhanta. The Vaisheshika theory admits the relation called Samanvaya, and hence their doctrine is untenable. Why? Because the Samanvaya relation is equal to any other relation. Thus it requires another Samanvaya to explain it. And that Samanvaya requires another Samanvaya to explain it, and so on, causing an infinite regression of reasoning. The atoms come together to form a binary molecule through the relationship called Samanvaya. If there were no Samanvaya relationship, there would be no conjunction of atoms. But the Samanvaya relationship is a mere assumption, for it is inexplicable. If two atoms come together through a Samanvaya relationship, it requires another Samanvaya to bring about this relationship. It means, why do these two atoms, they're coming together because of the relationship, well, what's the cause of this relationship? Right? Mm-hmm. So it has to be some other aspect. Yeah. And then it just keeps going back. Yeah. You're saying, oh, because there's a cause. You know, because we always see things, oh, why is that? Oh, because of this, you know, there's a cause. And then we just stop there.
Yes.
People don't go further.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus there would be infinite regression. The Samanvaya relationship has the notion of quality, action, and general characteristics. Thus it is an unspecified causal relationship. As such, it would require another causal relationship to explain it. And this produces the fault of anavasti, infinite regression. If it is objected that a relationship must be assumed to account for the connection between two things, and that this relation is the essential nature of the thing, then it must be assumed everywhere. Cannot be said that the nature of Samanvaya is inseparable connection, for that is also open to the same objection. For then, every quality would be found everywhere, and the holders of the Vaisheshika doctrine would have to admit that the consequence of their philosophy would be that the quality of smell would be found in air, the quality of sound in earth, the quality of form in the Atma, and the quality of intelligence in light. Every quality would be found everywhere, because the Samanvaya being a unity, it would be present everywhere. But this is not a fact. Therefore, Samanvaya relationship is an incongruous assumption. Right? They're assuming that there's a relationship.
Yes.
If you're saying it's inherent, then the problem is these qualities, then because all these different things are connected, you'd have to have all these qualities in everything. Otherwise, how do you get all these things?
Mm-hmm. And by doing this, by the Samavaya principle that they have, this particular doctrine, they are defeating their doctrine of Vishesha. Because now nothing is Vishesha.
Then nothing's Vishesha. It's all the same. But then you could bring in the, the social element of unity and diversity.
Yes.
You know, then, you know, you also have to probably say Jai Hind also, but. Yeah. Because otherwise, how would you get? Because then the particular atoms, then you have to going to say that then there's particular atoms that just do this or just do that, or, you know, so then the problem comes is that if these things are found everywhere, then that means all the different atoms have all the qualities, so then, yeah. So then also is like there's no visesha, there's no specialness, which then defeats their own philosophy. It means all these, they eventually defeat themselves. Right? One cannot argue, this is not so because Samanvaya does not operate in relation to the particular object. Samanvaya operates as an essential principle, Sarup, in relation to the state of the object being defined. It is impossible to have an additional factor, the state of the object, operating in a theory with a fixed number of padarthas, categories of existence. Therefore, the whole logic is contradictory. Footnote 17. Vaisheshika's seven categories, padarthas of realities. So in here, what Baladev's saying is based on their seven padarthas, or based on Gotama's 16, or...
This is Gotama's. Sorry, Maharaj?
Because you said seven categories of reality.
Yes, Maharaj.
So these are from... This is Vaisheshika.
Yeah, this is Vaisheshika.
Okay.
Because 16 is Naya, that is different. Actually, in reality, they have only six Vaisheshika. But the seventh has just come up. That's a recent addition they had in the Vaisheshik theory.
Oh, okay.
That is the non-existent.
So originally they didn't have that.
Originally they did not have. It was only six.
But the contemporary ones use seven.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Prabhupada explained the third kind, I think, during the seven.
Okay, so they're part of the Shankhya also. So it's the standard part of the Vedic literature.
While explaining the any substance, it should have the seven qualities. Like it comes in third.
Oh, okay. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions four.
Because the problem being seventh is the non-existence. So usually.
Non-existence. Yeah. So they have problem with the first six, so they throw in that just for.
Exactly.
Because we saw, remember the other philosophies, when you push them too far, then they go into non-existence.
Yeah.
So it says they all escape to there, and that as soon as you get to there, there's nothing to talk about, so then you'll stop talking and harassing them. Vaisheshika has seven categories, padarthas of reality. One, substance, nine dravyas. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, time, direction, soul, and mind. Two, quality, 24 gunas. So color, taste, smell, touch, sound, number, magnitude, distinctness, union, separation, remoteness, nearness, cognition, pleasure, pain, desire, aversion, effort, heaviness, fluidity, viscidity, tendency, virtue, and non-virtue. Right, so you can see these guys think a lot. You know. Three, action, karma. Four, generality, samanvaya. Five, uniqueness, vishesha. Six, inherent, samanvaya. And seven, non-existence, abhava. So this then becomes the... Since, so you have to, okay.
Maharaj?
So the state of the object. Yes.
Yeah.
So that means they've had these inherents, but then you have to have the object itself. And so it doesn't fit in their philosophy. Yes.
Yeah. The fifth point that we mentioned about Vishesha, this has been applied to point one, that is substance, the nine dravyas. So based on uniqueness, we are able to discriminate what is earth, what is water, what is fire, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why their philosophy's name is Vaisheshik or Vishesh. That is Vishesh.
So it means all these nine dravyas, then they have uniqueness.
Yeah, that is the reason why the philosophy is named so.
Okay, and so then if everything has everything else, then it can't function. Or if you have, they're adding an additional factor... Means that samanya operates an essential principle in relation to the state of the object being defined.
Yeah, so Swarup is not there. So Swarup will become eight then.
Yes, eight, so that's the whole point, is they can't function because it doesn't.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Means they're saying that the qualities are inherent in earth, water, fire, air, and all these. But then you have Swarup, then you have a form that's able to do all these different things.
Mm.
So then where does that becomes another padartha? So it's outside their philosophy.
Yes.
You know? In other words, we're discussing their philosophy within their philosophy.
Yes.
Yes.
So even within their philosophy, it's untenable.
Mm-hmm.
So the point being is, if you can defeat their philosophy with their philosophy, why do you need to go beyond that? Because
mm-hmm.
they're accepting their philosophy as an authority. So with their own authority, you can prove that it doesn't function. Then it's done, because otherwise then you have to prove other things as authority, and that will be why you spend the time when you can defeat them with themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Prabhupada, some of this are not there in what Prabhupada says, like direction, soul, and then I think non-existence also, the seventh point. While explaining the nature of the substance, he explains the uniqueness, generality, inherence, these kind of things.
Yeah, no, that's there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives that, qualities of a substance. Then, Because he says if for it to exist, it has to have these four qualities. Well, if you can. Qualities of a substance. Okay, existence, astitva. So it has. There's no such thing as non-existence. Otherwise, if there's non-existence, how is that a reality? Right? Because there is no such thing. Then you have vishesha, the distinctness. Then you have action, kriya, and use, prayojana. So they don't get into what's the use or anything like that, because then there must be some intelligence that's defining that. Because the soul's not, the atoms are not. Does that make sense? So us, with these four, we define everything. And then within that, you can have other categories where you mention, you know, what you're dealing with. But the qualities of anything that is a substance has to have these. It can't be a substance unless it exists. How can you say it's a substance? You know, how can it be reality if it doesn't exist? So this seventh padartha is not even real.
Actually, you find that all the six schools, you know, whenever their philosophy starts falling apart, then they throw in this particular abhava.
Yeah. Like that. It's just because when you get to that, there's nothing to discuss, so they think that you'll stop, but you know. We also see is that those would come from existence, that would be Sankarshan, distinctness, Visesha, that would be Prajumna, action, Kriya, that would be Vasudeva, and use, Prayojana, would be Aniruddha. Because it all goes back to the Lord, that's why it's there.
It's more easy to understand from the Krishna's perspective than this.
His devotional service is so simple, but they add in all these complications that are unnecessary. That's why, you see, when we deal with the philosophy, we just break it down into those five definitions given in the Upanishads: chit, achit, ishwara, sadhya, sadhana, sadhya.
Yes.
Because by that, then it's very clear what you're dealing with. But they wouldn't use that as a breakdown.
Yes.
Because that's not going to be effective for them to establish their philosophy. So they have some other way to establish it. Does that make sense? And that becomes the main thing, and then these other things then go around that. So the souls within the seven padarthas, the soul's thrown in. It's just one of the things of all these things. You know, or God is just one. He doesn't even come up in this one. Right? So he's not technically a reality that's important to them. I'm sure they'll say he's a reality, but they're not going to take it as an important aspect. So that's the point, is they have their mechanics, and they take that as the main, and then they adjust everything else around that. Does that make sense?
Because even the process of sadhana, it does not involve God or any mantra. At least yoga system involves something, you know. But they don't have, they just discriminate, you know, what is matter, what is soul. Just
yeah, but that's their sadhana.
That's their sadhana.
They just discriminate. They just mentally speculate.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Does that make sense? You have a framework that you say this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Shastra says this is important, like with the Mayavadis. They come up with their Mahavakyas, but those aren't the important Mahavakyas. They are points, but they're not the important ones. They take that, and then now they shift the whole philosophy to center around that.
Yes.
And that way, because it supports their particular misinterpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you take it as, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, Om is the Mahavakya. So if you take it and center it around that, then you see everything, all the aspects of philosophy naturally fit together.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use these other ones that they use, these Mahavakyas, then it doesn't fit. Some part fits, some part doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one of them, they take what is their important definitions and processes in that, and then try to center everything else around that. So that's why if Krishna is the center, then everything comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Then it all fits. But if you try to take something else at the center, then it won't. You know, it's just like if you take, you know, family life is the center, it won't all fit. You know, or renunciation is the center, it all won't fit. you know, or collecting money, it all won't fit, or, you know, management, or, you understand, book distribution. If you take one thing and make that the complete, it won't work. It has to be Krishna's the center. That's why there's book distribution, that's why there's management, that's why there's fundraising, that's why there's, you know, washing pots, that's why there's renunciation, that's why there's grihastha life. Then it all makes sense. But if you take that one thing, you know, like for Jaimini, is that it's grihastha life. So in other words, brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas are simply to make grihastha life, you know, I say, great again. Like that. That's all. And so that's what he's trying to do. So he sees everything there. So it only has a meaning in relationship to grihastha life. Because by the piety of being a brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, the piety you'll gain will make your grihastha life so much better next life. Therefore, it's there. So that's why someone will only take sannyasa vanaprastha in the later stages of life. You know, so that someone's a brahmachari, they'll all agree with that. But that someone would be a naistika brahmachari, they don't do that. That you would take sannyas at an early age, they'll just say this is bogus. Because it's all about grihastha, all about enjoying yourself, right? Enjoying the piety. Otherwise, the other orders can't get the full benefit.
Seems Daksha was very much into this.
Yes, so he's very much like that. But he's following the Vedic thing, but he doesn't understand the purpose of the Vedic, so if it's about surrendering to Krishna, that could be done at an early age. And like Palad Maharaj, you could, you know, get married and be a king and do all that, like so many others. Or you could also, like we see Narad Muni, when he was the son of the maidservant, then from that point, then you're renounced and like that. So the point is to be God conscious. So it's not there, then they can't reconcile. And so then they focus on that. And then you get all these different, you know, groups, and the grihasthas don't like the brahmacharis, don't like the, you know, nobody likes the management doesn't like this one else, and it just goes on and on and on.
So much they substitute the real pratigya of the Vedic literature and invent their own. And
yes.
That's why they cannot fit everything else.
Yes, yes. The center, the core, is different from what it's actually supposed to be. So because their determination is wrong, therefore the conclusion is wrong. So therefore how they apply in between will be wrong. So make sense? Okay. Stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.